safety for each family. We're counting on you, watchmen. Please don't let us down. We got a mouse supper. Eating to comes around. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace this morning.
Thank you, God.
We thank you, Lord, that we are here today. We thank you, Father, for granting us this privilege, O Lord, to sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus.
Thank you.
And we thank you, Father, that you have ordained this day for us, Lord, to know and to remember and honor the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For the Redeemer, Lord, that has risen from the dead. And Lord, in this resurrection, Lord, that we understand that, Lord, you have brought us back. You have brought us back, Lord, to our Heavenly Father above, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you have done for us. And now as you approach our Heavenly Father, may you just break the bread of life to us for the Lord. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Holy President on. Alright, this morning, think of the thought that I had back some few weeks ago, and while I was in the Philippines, I decided to do this whole thing a little slowly, because I feel that I need to write this message in book form and print it out, as was requested by some of the believers. The title of the message is simple: the reins are behind the open door. We're living in a time, we ask ourselves, what time is it? What time are we living in? Where are we at? And for the people like us in this generation, we can say we are very privileged to live in this end time. And I don't think that we want to live in any other age than this age that we're living in, this generation, because we're going to see the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We would definitely, when we look back to history, we say, we don't want to live in the dark ages. Neither do we want to live in the days of Luther, nor the days of John Wesley, nor in the Pentecostal age in the first 50 years of this 20th century. But we are living at the end of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to close the age. And I'll show you that which we are looking for, the age of the millennium that is ahead of us. Now the parousia that we have and understood, a term which means the presence of the Lord, the coming of Christ, a term which has been very much misunderstood in the denomination realm because of theological usage of the word. But the Bible is not to be understood by theology. We don't go to a theological seminary and try to understand Hebrew, Greeks and so on, try to understand the meaning of the word. Which, as even Brother Abraham said, well, it is good that you know all this Greek and Hebrew, but the truth of the word is not understood by all of that Hebrew language or the Greek language. It's the expression of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit writes the word, and when he expresses it, he explains in a particular manner. And the word parousia has been so misunderstood because it is taken as a word when he comes and you see him in his presence, as you see him face to face. To them, that's the parousia. But the parousia is a term means the coming, the presence. And which actually, when we look into the Bible, we understand in the Greek context or in the context of the Asiatic world, it means the coming of somebody, a dignitary, to a certain place. And it takes a certain event to happen before his presence or his personal or bodily parousia is manifest in front of the people. So we understood then that parousia actually is stages. But from the beginning, when the word is sent out through an ambassador or through a forerunner, and the forerunner took the message and go over to the city or to the country and said, so and so is coming. That's the beginning of the parousia. And then when that so-and-so goes to that place, a week later or a month later, and stand on in the presence of people, then we have a bodily parousia. So that's a term that we just, so misunderstood, but we thank the Lord that we have seen how that the Bible has showed us in the first coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first advent, John the Baptist was sent, isn't it? And the provision of Christ's first heaven already started. Even when Jesus Christ was born, the presence was already there on earth in Bethlehem, in Jerusalem, in Judea, Galilee for all those years, even before Jesus Christ ever manifested himself. Until when he stood in the water, into the river Jordan, was baptized, and he got out of the water, and the heavens opened up and said, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That's first heaven, and that's the bodily parousia of Christ standing there. So we understand that we are glad that we have come into the oneness as a bride with the groom. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God manifests to us by Spirit, by the Spirit revelation or revelation of the Spirit of God. We do not come into this presence of God by man's opinion or some theological school of thoughts. We are not here by some traditional teaching that bring us here today. We are here because God has opened our eyes to see His ministry, His Word. Amen. Of Ephesians chapter 4:11, which gets the saints to eat the little book of the hand of mighty angels that stood on the land and sea. In chapter 10 of Revelation. Alright, first of all we go to the book of Hosea chapter 6 and we look into some scriptures. Hosea chapter 6. So we are living in a time that is so exciting. And there are many questions asked about the return of the Lord. How is He going to come back? What's going to happen? We all know what's going to happen before He returns. Because that is Matthew chapter 24. Where the disciple asked the Lord Jesus Christ, what's up with the sign of your coming? And when would this thing be? And so forth. So we know all these things has already happening on the earth for many generations, and each passing year we see that there is a great increase of earthquake, famine, pestilences, disaster on the earth and so forth. In fact, this year, today's paper, you see there's an article on disaster world. This year alone there are so many hurricanes that they could not even keep track of. You know, and according to what I was told, Zohar told me that in a Chinese paper it was reported that within the next 18 months, somebody believed that there will be a change of weather, a freak, or whatever you want to call it, that will wreck the west coast of USA. And you know, we already told you, I shared with you a couple of months or years, I think a year or two back, how did the scientists have looked at the ocean of ours and saw that current is not even moving properly. They're kind of stagnant. And you know, if you don't move, the water, ocean is not moving properly, you know what happened? You get all this El Nino and La Nina and all these things, all this phenomena. So now, why do we have so many hurricanes this year? That is because something is wrong with the ocean. It's not moving the way it should be moving. You know, and so we get this phenomena. Now, the last few days, Zoe is in the west coast of California, he said it was pretty hot, you know, 30-something degrees Celsius. And last night she was writing us and saying that they predicted last night, that is, today will be in the morning for us, and it's night for them, it's 0 degrees Celsius. You know, all of a sudden the weather will change. Now, we're going to have this phenomenon. And the world is in for a big and a hard time. Because the Bible does say in the book of Romans that the earth is going through a travailing. And I think that we have not believed we are living in the last day. And we are expecting the great earthquake to come, which will raise even the dead in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. That's what we are looking for. And that's why I'm so excited, you know, looking forward here. Day passed by this year. Would this year end with the US dollar west bust? And next year, what happened? Would the euro, you know, unite together? And under one man, they are looking for a man that will control everything, you know, and run it. They are looking for it. You see, under the euro flag, you know, these 12 stars, they have this treasure. That 12 stars is actually designed by a converted Jewish man, a designer, a dreamer, you know what we were saying, an artist. And he was the one who suggested that. And this converted Jew to a Jew, converted Roman Catholicism, got his inspiration from the painting or icon of the Virgin Mary, who stood on the moon. You know, and with the 12 stars around the crown and with 12 stars around her head. And so this was what was suggested, and so another artist took up and then started to design this Euro flag. You see. So we are looking to the days ahead, exciting time for the return of Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea 6 verse 1. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for He hath torn and He will heal us. He hath smitten and He will bind us up. After 2 days will He revive us. In the third day He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, this is a prophecy, of course, of the Lord concerning Israel. After 2 days of rain, after 2 days, 2,000 years, you know, when the gospel, when the Jew rejected the gospel, God planted them, and He turned to the Jew. And for 2,000 years, this is the 2 days that God have blinded the eyes of the Jewish people to understand the gospel in full, to know what they have already rejected, completely blinded them, and turned toward the Gentile nation. People like you and I, me, we are all, you know, wild olives. They were taken and grafted in. And so, after this is over, then the Bible says on the third day, then He will raise up the Jew. Then God will stick the gospel back to the Jewish nation and raise them up. You understand? And as He said here, of course, that we shall know, if we follow on to know the Lord, He's going for, He's prepared us for money, He shall come to us as to rain, the latter and former rain unto the earth. So there's a prophecy concerning the former rain and latter rain. And so, during the early 20th century, when the Holy Ghost was outpoured, people talk about this latter rain, this former rain, and they want to know whether this is it and whatever it is. So, they look on further to other verses of Scripture, like the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 28. Which is prophesied here, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see vision. Joel 2:28 is very well known among the Pentecostal circle. You know, when the Holy Ghost was poured out at the beginning of the 20th century, between the year 1903 to 1909, it has been taught by them, whether I being a Pentecost, I should know. Well, it's taught that there was the fulfillment of the latter rain. But, you know, how this Pentecostal church began, how the Pentecostal movement began was that there were a group of nominal Christians from different denominations. They came together, they seek the Lord, they carry for the Lord, and after carrying for a couple of days and weeks, the Holy Spirit came down and began to speak in tongues. And so from then on, the Pentecostal movement began to sweep across from the west to the east. But then after a while, it began to simmer down a little bit. But by the year 1948, again 1948 is a very interesting year. It's always 48. 1948, that began the leather rain movement. And you know, brother Ernest Horton, who had been here before, his brother Joe Horton was the one who actually founded this movement. They call him the founder, with some other men. But then there was some problem later on. His brother Ernest Horton, brother, they call him Ernest Horton, brother Horton, came in and began to continue with this movement. So nearly 50 years later, in 1948, then there was this great work of spirit that surfaced with many healings and miracles also. But this time, it is not the caring for the Holy Spirit. It is the practice of laying on of hands. And so from that time on, you see, the laying on of hand was practice. Laying on hand to receive the Holy Ghost, laying on hand to receive the spiritual gift and so forth. And this movement of the latter rain, as it was called, bring about a lot of emphasis on the spiritual gifts as contrast to the old Pentecostal in the early 50s, where they tarry for the Holy Spirit. Now, in book of Acts 2:17, let's go to the book of Acts 2, verse 17. Here it is where Peter quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 28. It shall come to pass in the last days, said the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions. And old men shall dream dreams. And all my servants and all my handmaidens, I will pour out in those days on my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Now, you know, this was what Peter quote concerning Joel on the day of Pentecost. Let's read Joel chapter 2, verse 23, all the way down, and see what he said and understand why he quote this verse. Because when he quote this verse, you do not see verse 23 of Joel. Alright, so let us read the whole context of the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 23. Be glad, you children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God. For he had given you the former rain moderately, which means to say in due measure. And he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first month. Now you know that rain don't come together, alright? And you cannot have one whole lot of rain pour down on you and say that's the former rain, latter rain together. That's nonsense. You cannot. Okay? And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fats shall overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. The locust here is swarmer. Now all this, but the Bible in the King James will say that I will restore you the year that the locusts have eaten. The cankerworm, the caterpillar, the pommel worm, my army which I sent unto you. But all these are actually locusts. What is a cankerworm? What is a pommel worm? What is a caterpillar? We try to figure it out. But they are all locusts. These are different kinds of locusts. I will restore you to you the years of the locusts. These are swarming locusts. The one that swarm have eaten. The canker are the crawling locusts. The one that does not fly. Alright? And the caterpillar, these caterpillars are consuming actually locusts, another form of locusts. They have different species. And the last one is the pommel worm, which is the ravager, the ravaging locust. So when we try to figure out one of those canker worm and the pommel worm, you think of some kind of worm, don't you? But they're all locusts actually. Alright? And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, that have dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Full stop. Verse 28. And it shall come to pass that I will pour my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see vision. And also upon the servant and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, fire and blood and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. Now the question is this. You read this context in full now. But what did Peter quote verse 28? When Peter quote verse 28, the reference of Peter is not a complete fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. Especially verse 28. Where he said, this is that which was spoken of by Joel the prophet. It shall come to pass that after our power must spill upon our flesh. Is that right? And your young men shall dream, old men shall dream, young men shall see vision, and so forth. Now we know that it is not the whole fulfillment, not at all. It is only the foretaste of what Israel will experience in future. Alright? When the Messiah comes for them. Now all those that were baptized with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, they were all Jews, isn't it? They were not even a Gentile. So that's what Peter was able to quote, because the prophecy here was for the Jew. That Jesus said, I came to seek for the lordship of the house of Israel. Remember the woman, Sarah, the initial woman came to Jesus Christ? She said, I don't give bread to the dogs. Remember? Huh? We are holy. We are God's. So all the prophecies pertain to Israel, pertain to the church, as far as the church started, were all Jews. But because the gospel was rejected by the Jew, God blotted them and turned to the Gentiles. So then we were grafted in, then we entitled to that blessing which the Jew were not given, did not possess. The wall of tradition were broken down, so God merged them together. So we are part of that. But the prophecy, as we understood at that time, they were for the Jews. So now if you notice that in verse 23, he talks about the former rain and the latter rain. And if you read down from verse 23 to 27, what does it say? When the rain comes, what was the purpose of pouring down the rain? Verse 24. The forest will be full of wheat and fat. I will restore back the years which all these locusts had done, strip you off and give you nothing. Verse 26, you will eat in plenty and be satisfied. Is that right? Huh? The rain was to bring back the food. The rain was to bring back plenty of nutrient, nourishment, food to God's people. That was the purpose for the rain. Is that right? And after the restoration of that tree, then we will have verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward, after that, after the rain has come. You see that? After the rain has brought back you back to the food, to the storehouse, and then after that. The question is this, you all know, what was the Holy Ghost given for? When the Holy Ghost was, this Holy Spirit was given, what was it given for? We all know what it was given for, don't we? Well, they lost into all truth, they guide us into all truth. Okay, let's go and read Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13. And verse 14 and 15. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently. Now, you see the word, hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in thy corn, thy wine, and thy oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for your cattle, that thou may eat and be full. What was the Holy Spirit given for? When he was given, what is he given for? So that there will be food in the land. That's the purpose. The Holy Spirit will take you to the food. He will bring about the food. That's why he leads us and guides us into all truth. That is the purpose of it. You understand that now? Because in John 20, verse 2, chapter 2, verse 23, the former rain, now the word former rain comes from the Hebrew word, mori. Which means an archer. You know what an archer is? Something that someone who shoots. Another name means a pointer. A pointer. And you know when a teacher used to teach, he point. You know what a teacher does when he points. So the word more in the former rain in this verse means an archer, to point, to teach. Also a teacher or means teaching. So the former rain in this verse here means the teaching rain. Got it? Alright, we'll continue as I go and explain. Now, is it therefore that in the 20th century, when the Holy Ghost was poured out in those two movements, Pentecostal movement in the beginning of the 20th century, came about later on in the second half, the latter rain movement, are those movements fulfilling the latter rain prophecy? The answer is no. The answer is no. There are many songs we sing that today even we sing, just because we like the tune perhaps. just because we just kind of remember what the Lord had done, even though this word doesn't fit the whole thing, isn't it? We sing, oh, the evening time. What the evening time song? Remember the Alice the Camel Tree? That song fit in the days at the beginning when Brother Abraham was around. You understand? It does not fit in today, that's time. Got it? Sure, isn't it? Then we sing that song. This is the promise of the coming latter rain. Lift up your eyes, behold the wrapping rain. Is that right? So we know that this one is not what we are having today. But because, well, it's part of the rain anyway that is we are in experience, but it is not the latter rain. Do you understand that? So sometimes this song was written because of the certain period of time. So we realize then that the earlier 20th century movement and the latter rain movement did not at all fulfill the latter rain as being promised here. It cannot be, it was not, because the latter rain can only come after the former rain. Now listen carefully. It cannot be, because the latter rain can only come after the former rain has come. Now, there are two rains, remember I told you? The Bible said the former rain and the latter rain. The former and the latter. Latter means, well, actually means the later rain. It comes later. So now, today's latter rain cannot exist until the former rain first comes. Right? And the Bible does promise that God is going to send us the former latter rain in the last day. But the latter rain has not come because the former rain hasn't come in that 20th century, in the beginning of the 20th century. You know when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the early 20th century? They thought it was the latter rain. They kept on talking about the latter rain. They thought there's the latter rain movement. But how can you have the latter rain when the first rain did not come? Former rain means the first rain, the early rain. There are two seasons of rain in Israel. One that happened in around October, and the other around March and April, which is the latter rain. The first rain in September, October is the former rain. The first rain is when you sow your crops. Do you understand now? Okay? So when we look back, we realize then, you know, so now, until the former rain first come, you cannot have the latter rain. But how can a former rain come when the message was not even given to us? Or wasn't even given yet at that time, in the early 50s. Brother Ben began preaching the message in the year 1953 or 1956. Latter rain started in 1948. You understand that? And that was a great move because of the Holy Spirit, because the healing was there. Brother Ben was also in the healing movement, right? You see, but it is not the latter rain. Do you understand? So there needs to be a messenger with a message to restore us back, to restore the people of God back to the Word of God. Then can the former rain come. Now I want you to see the pattern. I want you to see it very clearly, because we are looking at the deep things of God. We are looking at the timeline of prophecy. So to speak, where are we at in this end time? Where are we at? How close are we at the coming of the Lord? When we look at prophecy of the former latter rain, how was this thing fulfilled? And when were it fulfilled? Or had it been fulfilled already? So now I said there are two rains. The former rain, they come just after the planting. Now usually if you have a parched land, of course in Israel the rain comes quite regularly, until of course there is drought and so forth. But if the land is dry, the farmer cannot do a thing because the earth is parched. They cannot plant, they cannot put seeds in it because it's too dry. So they need to wait for the rain to come. So if the rain comes late, instead of September, October, it comes in November, and the rain pour, and the whole earth is soaked, right? Then they can start planting. But once they plant the seed and there's no rain, it's useless. You understand? It must have rained immediately after the planting. Usually when there is regular rain, so they plow the land. Then the seed are sown. When the seed are sown, then next few days the rain will come. You know, nice shower of rain. Not pour. If you pour and pour, the earth is washed away. The seed will be washed away. Do you understand that? That's why the Bible always used the word showers of blessing. What kind of rain do you want? As I said before, there are four different kinds when it comes down. One is a drizzle. When the drizzle comes down, you're like snowflakes. Very small, fine. You have seen, right? Very fine when you go up there, it's sort of soaking. It just comes down, it just dries up. And you don't get wet in this kind of rain. The second rain of course is a shower. Shower is nice, you know, sprinkle of rain coming down, and you enjoy just that you stand under a shower head in your home bathroom. In the bathroom of your home. And you just get on there and just, soaking in. You enjoy that. But when it is downpour, you know how big a downpour is? That raindrop is too big, it hits you on the face, and it hurts. And you really get so wet and you're so drenched, you don't like that kind of a downpour. Then the next one, of course, is the storm. Downpour is something like a, you know, layers and layers of water can come down like sheets and sheets of glass water or something like that keep coming down on you, like somebody throw a basin of water in your face. Wind on the storm is one thing you definitely do not want to be out in the open. So when the Bible always uses the word showers of blessing. So the former rain comes just after the planting, which is in the month of September, October. The latter rain is just before the harvest. Which is of course, in Israel, there are two periods. One, late March to early April, which when they harvest the barley. And then a month later, they harvest the wheat, which is near Pentecost. In the month of Abib. Usually in the month of Abib. Now in the word you read early on, in the first month, Joel chapter 2, verse 23, where he says, he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter, in the first month. Now, in the word in the first month, it is not a good translation. If the Hebrew word is Rishon, means first in time, first in rank, or first in place. Or, as we would say, the former manner. So, God will cause the rain to come down the former and the latter rain as in the former time, former manner, as it was before he had done for you. Do you understand? So, this is a meaning, but don't look at it as first month, as it is first month. But anyway, first month is also the month of Abib. Do you understand that? So it is promised, of course, that when we see in the scripture, the prophecy laid on Pentecost, it does happen. Right after Abib comes this former rain. Alright. Now you remember when we look into the Bible, we see that our Lord Jesus Christ, He sowed seed. Matthew 13 as the one who is a sower who went for sowing seed. When He sowed seed, He expects to reap, isn't it? Am I right? So that's the reason why He told the story of the parable of the sower and the seed and different kinds of parables in Matthew 13. He said the harvest will be at the end. So when He sowed seed, on the day of Pentecost, the Pentecostal rain came. The Holy Spirit came upon those that were seeds. And it began to sprout. Pentecost was the beginning of the acts of the Holy Spirit of building a church. Do you understand? So that was the former rain. Was a type of the former rain that came. And you know, we know that at that time when the Holy Spirit came down upon the church, the beginning of the church was started by the apostles. Those 12 apostles were the ones that went out. Now the fivefold ministry were not yet in operation. And you and I know that that's true. Isn't it? Because the apostles were the one that God, Jesus Christ called them and they were the one. Then later it takes quite some time down the road that you begin to see prophets, evangelists mentioned and pastor and teacher mentioned. Is that right? You understand that, don't you? The church did not start all the matter with all the fivefold ministry. That is not true. It doesn't exist that way. Do you understand that? So the church began to sprout. Those seeds began to sprout. The church began to come out. But you know, well, like Israel, the church committed spiritual fornication by hybridizing with the original seed. You know the spirit of Nicolaitans? They came in, doctrine the deed, and then sooner or later the whole thing became a blown up thing where you enter into the church age, where you See, 300 years later, a man sits upon that throne. And you seek authority. So then, we see then, of course, what was the purpose of God giving the Holy Spirit on day of Pentecost? Pentecost to charismatic says, well, that's the heaven of the Holy Ghost that you have the Holy Ghost. But you know, we know, I mean, you know, when tradition gets a hold of you, you are blinded by it. I was in a Pentecost, and that's what I believe. If you don't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. But then it's not true. The Holy Ghost would actually bore their part of the word so simply, and yet Pentecost will bypass it. Like or not, you show Pentecostals today the same verse, they still will not believe it. Huh? When the Spirit, when the Comforter is come, He shall guide and lead you into all truth. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to lead and guide us into the Word of God. So at the beginning of the church, when God begins, of course God has a way of doing things. You know that attract the people, He shows signs and wonders. All this healing, all this miracle. Is that alright? That's, you know what, the 20th century. Why did God send for the Holy Ghost baptism upon those group of people? Why? Because the gift was an attraction. People like, even to today, if there's no gift in the church, no healing, no miracle in the church, they say the church is dead. So people have to store up all these gifts. Well, even though it's not the real thing, they impersonate it. We see. Isn't it true? Pentecost is speaking in tongues, charismatic speaking in tongues. Like it or not, there's so many impersonations. Not the real thing. But the real genuine thing that started all was imitated, impersonated by the make-believers. We see it. But the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to guide us and lead us into the Word of God. What is so important about the Word of God? Because it's the original seed. How can we depart from that original seed? We believe by the Word of God. Man shall not live by God alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We live by that word. Word that is spoken even before the foundation of the world. That which was in the mind of God that was uttered out. We live by that. Not by some tradition, not by some education, something that we go to a theological school and learn. We don't live by the written word of God, we live by the spoken, revealed word of God. Word that was uttered by God even before the foundation of the world. Yet God gave it to us in the compact form, in this written form. Is that right? That all the anointing of the Holy Spirit, under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word can be made alive. Huh? That the Word can be made alive. So we, that's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it was given. But the church died. You know, Paul came along after a while, 20 years after the church started, 20-something years, the church began organized. Huh? Booth already came in, and the disruptive men already came in. And by the time that about 100 AD, when John was still alive, the last apostles were still alive, so there are many antichrist spirits already at work. Huh? So many deceptions. So when the last apostle died, just imagine Irenaeus, Polycarp stood firm to fight against all the elements of heresy. They say that Jesus Christ is not God. Or that Jesus Christ is not come in the flesh. It's what John warned in his epistle. Anyone that said Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh is not of God. They believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came in apparition or some kind of theophany. It's not a flesh form. You understand? That's why Jesus said he did not die on the cross. He cannot die. He just, you know, can rise up because he's not in the flesh. So all that doctrine was taught in those days. So what do we have? The church have radiced the word of God. Go look into the book of Jeremiah, chapter 3, verse 2 to 3. Jeremiah chapter 3. One, two, and three. Here is an article. husband putting away his wife and then wearing her back. This is to illustrate the leather ring. Okay, now if a man put away his wife and she go from him and become another man's, shall not that land be greatly polluted? But you have played a harlot with many lovers. Yet return unto me, said the Lord, lift up your eyes unto the high places and see where you have not been lain with. He said about high places, lift up your eyes and see it. Now think about these high places later on, huh? In the ways have you set for them as the Arabian in the wilderness, and you have polluted the land with your whoredom and with your wickedness. Therefore the shower has been withheld, and there has been no latter rain, and you have a harsh forehead. You refuse to be ashamed. Well, you know what a harsh forehead is? Huh? You know what a prostitute in those days, they have a flounder here. Just like the Pharisees, they put this phylactery, huh? Which is a little box, I think, where they have a little scroll inside, which is actually, here, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. They put it inside there and they wear it around here. So in those days, a prostitute has something that put on, like a bracelet. You know, some people have this bracelet, put their name there, and they put it around their wrist. There's something like that put on their head that shows that they are a prostitute. And they can sit on the wayside, and then you can know there's a prostitute, you can go up to her. Huh? Not today on the streets, some men go up to the woman go up to the man, that sort of thing. But those days you know them. Do you understand that? You have a horse forehead. Now you see, it is interesting, isn't it? That we realize from here that even as Jeremiah said the way he said it, that it shows a mark of the beast is spiritual. Not something that is a physical mark. So here it is, a woman who had been with another man, many other lovers. What happened to the churches today? Look at the church today. You have the Baptists, you have the Methodists, the Anglican, and all this different. That's what they have been hybridizing. The church has hybridized with the works of different men, different theological, seminary teachings, traditional teachings. No wonder God has put her away. Or why don't we will say, they rejected Christ and keep Christ outside the church. Isn't it? Alright, so let's go to Jeremiah chapter 5 now, verse 21. You see, as much as Jeremiah said in verse chapter 3 just now, that's why God has withheld the shower. Because they have polluted the land. God refused to give them the shower. You think that God is going to pour the shower upon denominational churches? As long as the Christian, as a child of God, as long as a church, sleep around with other lovers, so to speak, hybridizing with man's word, you think God is going to pour out His showers upon you? Not at all. The Holy Ghost outpouring in the 20th century, it's not the latter rain. It is not even the former rain. Huh? Interesting, isn't it? We'll see. Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. Fear you not me, said the Lord? Have you not trembled at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree? That it cannot pass it. And though the word thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But these people have a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Let us say that in their heart. Let us not fear the Lord our God, that give rains, both the former and the latter in His season. He reserved unto us the appointed weeks of the feast. Remember, it's appointed. The appointed time. And we are living in the appointed time. Remember as Paul was saying, he was a man born out of due season? Huh? And it was appointed time for him to be what he was supposed to be. And we are living in appointed time where you have this reek of the house we are living in. Okay? Your iniquity have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait as he that seeth nets. They set a trap, they catch men. As the cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they all pass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper. And the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful, now it's not wonderful, it is actually a shocking and a horrible thing is done, committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rules by their means, and my people love to have it so. And what would you do in the end thereof? Isn't that what the churches is? Isn't that what the churches is? It's not what the churches is. Ah, today, I mean, that's the way they do. They got these big seminary, big men with big decrees, and laying a snare, lay weights, take people in, proselyting just the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the Bible in the last part says, oh, and the prophet prophesied falsely, and the priests, the rabbi, the people that control the church, the elders, all this, they bear rules by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what would you do in the end thereof? Hybridizing will kill a person. God has shut up the rain, and there's no rain. So what needs to be done? The church needs to return back to the Word and be taught. Don't be like a ho ho, as God prophesied to Jeremiah. You have been moving around with other men. That's why you are just like a ho. And because of that, I have shut up the heavens and give you no shower. Your land is polluted. The churches today are polluted. They cannot receive the shower of God, and never can they will ever have. So the only way is to return unto the Lord your God. Return unto the Lord your God. Return unto the Lord your God. The church needs to return to the Word and be taught. So what has promised in the Word? Both the former rain and the latter rain must come. And when they come, they come of the harvest. James 5, verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. Verse 7 and 8. Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. Who is the husbandman? Huh? Who is the husbandman? In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it? He's a soul, he's the husbandman. Is that right? He waited for the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for it. And have long patience for 2,000 years. Huh? It's a long time, isn't it? Until he received the early and latter rain. Until he received the early and latter rain. Verse 8. Be ye also patient. Established. Establish your heart. For the coming of the Lord draw nigh. And that's what we see in the book of Hosea 6:3 that we read early on. How true that is, isn't it? The early and latter rain. Now, in this word here in the book of Greek, James, writing is in Greek, early rain here from the Greek word proimos. It means dawning. Autumn, of course there is a showering, alright? The shower, the first of the rainy season. It begins in September, October. Then the word latter rain, latter, opsimo, means later. Okay, that is vana. Late in the day. After the close of the day. Hey, after the close of the day, that's it, the end. And that's when he comes. Huh? So there's going to be two rain. Now, let's look at it. When the Holy Spirit was poured upon on the day of Pentecost, there was an early rain. But the church, did not sit under that rain to be taught as they ought to be taught. Right? Now, you know the first early few years of the church, they were all wheat. Tares has not been sown yet. Right or not? And the Bible says, and one man slept. Remember? In the parable? And then the enemy came and sowed tares. Man here represents those servants of God. They all died. That's when those tares were being sown heavily. Do you understand? When all the men began to pass away, then the enemy came in and sneaked in and started to sow tares. Paul says, but I'm God, wolf will come in. Right? So in those early days, if people were to sit under the ministry, then the church could be perfected and take the light of rain and go, you know. You understand that? So the former rain is the teaching rain. Let's go to Revelation now, chapter 3, verse 20. There are two rains. A former rain and a latter rain. In this last day. There are going to be these two rains coming back. Remember? And they are far behind one of the two open doors. Do you know that there are two open doors? That's why I say I'm going to do this topic again. Actually, there are two open doors. But the two rain, the former leather rain, is only found behind one of these open doors. And they are all on the inside of the house of God through those open doors. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, and I will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcome, when I sit, glad to sit with my Father in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am sat down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit say unto the churches. Now, Revelation, the seven church ages, the last one, Laodicea. What happened in this Laodicean case? They said, we are rich, we are no need on anything. Right? But God said, you are cold, neither cold nor hot. I wish you are cold or hot, I know what to do with you. Oh, you don't even know they are wretched, poor, blind, and naked. And I counsel you to buy me of gold, right? What happened to Jesus? He was thrown outside the church, wasn't it? We know he was outside the church. Now he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. There is a door. He's knocking. Now he said, if any man, not any church, that's an individual now. Huh? Remember God gave Israel as a nation. When the Holy Spirit poured out Pentecost, the church started. The Spirit moved as a whole with this church. But now the church is, the curse thrown out of the church. How do you ever deal with a group? Because God never can deal with a group. And never could, never does, never did. Except for Israel as a nation. But as far as the gospel is concerned, it's individual. Now we are standing on God now. If any man will open, I will come and sup with him, hear with me. Now, do you know the Bible here said this in verse 21. To him that overcome. Overcome what? In every verse you see, him that overcome. Overcome what? Every church has, there's something to overcome. What is this overcoming in this age? This is where Jesus said, if a man can overcome what? Come out from that, all that garbage. If you can make a stand, come out! And I will come in. And I will sup with you and you with me. That's the first door. That's the first door. Now, Matthew 25, you know, this is exactly what we see in Matthew 25, the ten virgins. Remember? At midnight, there was a cry made. The midnight cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. Got it? That's a midnight cry. Now you come up of what? What would a virgin? The virgin went to sleep in denominationalism. And that's why the Pentecostal, you know, they're all looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and then they went by into a system. UPC, Examines of God, Nazarene Pilgrim Holiness, all the different kinds out there in America. So behold, I stand on the door now. Oh, come out, all my people. Now Christ outside calling the virgin out. Huh? Come out and meet him. That's what it is. Christ says, I stand there at the door and knock. If you open up, I'll sup with you and come in. You sup with me, I sup with you. That's the message of the Minaka. That's the message of the prophet. This is the beginning of the restoration of the bride to the world. Remember the restoration of the bride tree? That which the locust eaten, that which the kangaroo worm eaten, that which the caterpillar worm eaten, that which the palmer worm eaten, I will restore it back. That's the restoration. Now, people say, Bar Abraham's, they say that some of these people in Abraham said that the world was restored back to the bride. No. The world was not restored back to the bride. The bride was restored back to the world. It's not the other way around. We have all sorts of funny terms that they don't know what they are saying. Because the world has always been there. It's only the people are all messed up. They have hybrid themselves with words of man. So the bride must be restored back to the word. The word is outside the church and not inside the church. You cannot take a word and try to put back in the church. They won't want it. Am I right? Now Christ is calling the immediate individual. You know the whole system will not accept it. The church will not accept it. Now, if you can overcome, you'll sit with me in my Father's throne. As I sit with my throne, as I sat with my Father. I overcame and sat by my Father in his throne. So come. So this is the beginning. This was then the beginning of the restoration of the bride to the world. This door is set before the church, you know. For those who are here to come. It is calling out for every individual. Now this door is not set in the world. You know, people preach using this verse. Before I stand on the door, not in the gospel preaching. That's okay. But this door is set to all those who are Christian. Isn't it? Huh? Alright? So now the Spirit of Christ is getting the seed back into the field of His own word. If you are a true seed of God, you must come back to your own field. Huh? We belong to Christ. In the first place, Christ, when He sowed the seed, He was all in His own field. You look at all the parables. Is that it? The soul, wherever the soul is sowed, that in wheat in his own field. When he saw the mustard seed, he's still in his own field. He didn't sow in somebody else's field. But the devil come around and mess it up. You understand? Okay? So now when we are put back into the world, now, this is just, this restoration of the bride back to the world is just before the former ring comes. Now what is this? When we know when we are in this message, we always talk about manna. Manna. As I said this before. We talk about Brother Abraham came with, you know, message to call us back to the Word. And all the various sermons and messages that he preached. Many people are still holding on to these things. There's nothing wrong with reading it. People think that I'm against it. No. We have been carrying all these books of Brother Abraham for years. Sending it out, we receive it, but we send it out, we read it, we put it in our library, every one of you can have it, the tapes and everything. Listen to it. It's okay to listen to it. Now, I'm not saying what's wrong to listen to it. By all means, listen to it. But remember one thing, when you heard the shout is when you have heard it, it has served you one purpose, to bring you back to the Word. What Word? The Word of Christ, the original Word, not the Word of the prophet. The prophet's word is a message. It is a pointer. It is the beginning of the spoken word ministry. Remember I told you three phases? The shout, the voice, the trump. They are all spoken word ministry. And they are all pointers. Like it, they are all pointers. That's what the former man, when he starts to come, they are all pointers. They point. They are teachers of righteousness. They are teachers of the word. They point. That's what Bob Graham says. Come out and meet him. Is that right? Come out and meet him. He heard the Bible, come on. Come out and meet him. He always point. Come out, point. He didn't point himself. That's why we have so much confusion around the world today. And that's the same day will go down in history. If the world continues for another 50 years. This message, Bob said, can never be organized, can never be denominated by people are doing just it and not realizing they are doing it. What did they do to Luther? Luther's gone, they did the same thing. Wesley's gone, they did the same thing. Problem's gone, they did the same thing. It will always be human failure. And the trouble is, human failure is a human look to human. Human always needs somebody to hold on to. They cannot depend upon the Lord. He that have a year to hear, like he didn't hear what Brother Abraham said. He that have a year, like he hear what Luther said. No. Like he didn't hear what the Spirit of God said to the churches. That's the most important. Can you hear what the Spirit of God said? That's why I have so many enemies from around the world that try to expose me. And I just ask them a few questions. They can't even answer those questions. And they continue to backbite me. Very simple. They did that to Christ. They did that to Paul. They did that to Brother Ben in every way. You stand on the word of God, you will be persecuted. Huh? The blood of Christ live upon the word of God. Depends on the living word. We live by the living word. But you know, the church today, as a whole, they can talk about the Bible, they can talk about history, huh? But we don't do that. We don't talk about the Bible, we talk about history, huh? We talk about the life that is in the Word. We talk about the real thing, something which God has given us to see. That's why you see, every type and shadow in the Bible never fail. I have always been a typologist when I was in the Assemblies of God. When I heard one of them preach for the first time, I said, here was a man who knew his typology. And I enjoyed this on the program because when he brings out typology, I said, that's what it clears up everything. And the Bible typology and shadow can never fail. Look at Moses, the people of Israel. Moses was called to bring them out. Right? That was Brother Branham, a type of Brother Branham. Moses means to draw out from the water. Water means the people. Isn't it? That's what Moses meant. His name was meant Moses. Though he was drawn from the water as a baby, but he also drew the people. But he didn't take them to the promised land. Joshua took over. Joshua. Jehovah is Savior. Is that right? Huh? And Jehovah is Savior, and that's Christ. Joshua means Joshua. That's Christ. It's the Word. The Word is that which saves you. As long as they are in the wilderness, they are feeding on manna. The word manna has a very peculiar word. And today we are always talking about manna. Even the number is talking about manna. Manna means what is it? Why is it? When is it? Where is it? How is it? That's what the meaning of the word manna. When they were astonished at what they found out in the field out there in the morning, they came on asking each other when they take and eat it. Manna. What is it? How is it? How come? Where is it? Where is it come from? How? This, that. They ask all kinds of questions about manna. It's just a common word. So the question is, it is true, isn't it? What is the message all about? Huh? Brother Graham told the people, do you understand what I'm saying? He said, yeah, my brother. He said, you don't. What he says, you don't even understand. People enjoy this in the Bible and preach, but they do not understand the message. That's the problem. The message is a pointer. Come on, get in. Malachi, we all know that. Luke 17:30, revealing the Son of Man. The Son of Man, a Son of Man revealing the Son of Man. The ministry came back to show us the living Christ. All these things. Revelation 4:1. The second door. After this I look and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me. We said, come up hither, let's come up here, and I will show you the things which must be hereafter. Okay? And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. The second one here is come up here. I will show you. The first dog was on earth. You hear that, don't you? Are you aware of that? The first dog, Christ was thrown out. Christ says, Behold, I send a dog now. He's outside the church, no? He is the door now. He put himself a door here between you and any individual that will open up, he'll come in and sup with you. Huh? Now he is calling for the individual of the church, not the world actually, because that message was in the Laodicea, the church itself. Those who knows him by name. Every church, every Christian in every church knows Jesus Christ by name. One way or another, they have some kind of knowledge of him. Whether they have special relationship with him or not, we do not know. In the light. But in India, pagan audience, not everyone on the street knows who Jesus is. So the door is not set there for them in that context. You understand? You following me? Now the individual that came out and went in through that door, Christ came in and supped with him and he with me, right? That's here. The first stage. And that was a message of Brother Branham coming out to restore back to the Word. Remember, come out and restore that Christ is the Word. Understand? But now, here was a second door. Now this door is not here on earth. It's up in heaven. Do you understand? John was caught up in the vision. He saw that a door was open in heaven. And the boy says, come out here. Come up here. And I'll show you things here shall be hereafter. From here onwards. And immediately John was caught up. Who was John? John was a tabard, right? Nobody can enter into the second door until you first come to the first door. There are two doors. Do you understand? Remember I said this one thing. You know when Abraham was a type of Matthew 25. Behold the Roman cometh. Come out to meet him. Come out, one, two, to meet him. Now a lot of people came out. They stayed with the messenger. They didn't go and meet him, the Christ. Now that's one problem. They can come up and they don't go in, they are finished. You are just as dead as it could be. Think about it, but it's true now. Israel did the same thing. They hear all the prophets say they enjoy, they don't, they stone him to death. Some of these prophets to death. They don't even know who they were prophesying about. When Christ came, the Pharisees, they said, oh, we have Abraham, we have the prophets, we have Jeremiah, we have all these prophets. And Jesus says, a greater than Solomon is here. Even know what they are talking about, you know that they are speaking of me. All the prophets about they are talking of me. You understand? They are all prophesying of me. Ah, they stone him too. And they put him to death on the cross. There are two doors. First, you get out. Get into Christ, the Word. Let's talk back. Wow! Go up. Only that is for John. John is the type of the beloved. Remember that? He was the type of the beloved. The type of the bride. They went up. How did they go up? Now, isn't it interesting? Ephesians chapter 1, what it says, now, and as the boy says, I will show you things that shall be hereafter. And then I was in the spirit, when he went right up, what did he do? What actually does was that according to Paul, you'll find yourself sitting in heavenly places. Huh? Are you caught up in the spirit? We, the bride of Christ, we are the only people, the true brother of Christ enter into the realm. We are going to a prophetic vision and prophetic word of God. That's why the word of God is alive to us. That's why the good coming to Christ, you know, the manner in Christ, what the power of the prophet has done, it's good. The coming to the word is good, but how is the word going to apply in your life? People can stay in this manner. But once you get up into that second door, it's just like following Joshua, crossed the river Jordan, and when he crossed the river Jordan, what did the Bible say in the book of Joshua chapter 5 verse 11? Go look at it. Joshua chapter 5 verse 11. Verse 11 and verse 12. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cake and parched corn on the same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. The rain was to restore back the fruit of the land. Hey, look, manna, you know, that comes out not from the ground. They grow from the ground. Do you understand? Manna was good only for a day. Manna was given to sustain you on a journey. Do you understand? That's the reason why the message of Brother Bram was manna. Was to sustain you. It was a sharp message. Come on, get in. When you hear the shout, you move and get in. Then the shout is no longer for you. It's for somebody else to hear. Do you understand this?
Yes, man.
But you know, people don't understand that. When their children is across the river Jordan, on the morrow they began to eat the old corn of the land. They didn't bring the corn with them from Egypt, you know. Not Egyptian corn. The corn of the land. This is why what happened to the land of the churches today. They are polluted, parched, dried up. God says, I will hold the shower because you have fornicated. That's why the rain cannot come. So you will see, you've got to come back out of this system. Christ is the doorway. Come, and I'll supply you. When you come out, then go into the prophetic visions and prophetic word. And get into the heavenly places, as Paul said. You are sitting in the heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If you don't, then you cannot see the prophetic word. You cannot understand those things. That shall be hereafter. After chapter 3 of Revelation. You are in chapter 4. Now you are in a different dimension. Do you see that? You are eating the old corn of the land. The rain comes. Now you are in the former rain. Once you come out, you come in the former rain. That's when what happened? Well, we have Ephesians 4:11. That's what it is, the former rain. The former rain is the teaching rain. Now only the bride can understand the word come out here. Let me first explain. Alright? Say we shall be hereafter receiving the spirit of the word in the learning of Christ and the things that is to come. Through the utterance of anointed men. Every time you see the Bible said about the spoken word, it's the original seed. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And Paul said, the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. And we know that, don't you? That's why people hold this Bible in their hand. They can open, they can read it. But do they understand? That's another thing. There's three things to everything. The God always works in three. There's an opening, there's a revealing, there's a fulfilling. That's a seal. An opening, a revealing, and a fulfilling. People that think the Bible, open the Bible. That's the first thing. Open it. They can read it. They close it, but they don't know a thing. It's not revealed to them. Is it right? Person open the Bible, John 3:16. He read it. If he understands it, it's revealed to him. Then when he acts upon it, it's revealed to fulfill in his life. An opening, a revealing, and a fulfilling. I've been trying to explain this to those who always said that the seal was opened by Brother Branham. The seal was not opened by Brother Branham. The seal was opened by Christ, and the only witness that saw it was John the Beloved. But Brother Branham came to reveal it because God gave it to him and revealed those things. And then when it's revealed and those things are fulfilled, then it's fulfilled. But all those four horses went across, they haven't been fulfilled yet. None of all these seals were fulfilled in full. Some were fulfilled in parts. And the four horses are still riding, you know. The four horses are still riding. Huh? And the last horse is a pale horse. We know it's not a pale horse. The Bible uses the word pale, but which is a good word. But the last horse is a chronos, green. Come from the word chronophyll, green. It's a green horse. But why is it called a pale horse? Because that term, because there was one who sit on it, was death. You bruise your head, what we Chinese call orching, yeah? Blue black, right? If you ever look a little closely at your bruise mark, you can see all those colors. The white, the red, the black, all mixed up together. But yet it's greenish in color. Orching, green. You can see a bit of greens, right? Why? Because why? The cell is trying to revive. And that's the reason why the bruised head of the serpent is reviving itself. Coming back to life.
And the horse is running all the way. Smart. Smart spirit, isn't it? The devil is somebody that you know. You know how powerful he is. And you know, some people try to get and try to entangle themselves with the devil. A serpent is not something that you can play a fool with. Alright? Now, the rest, of course, the world, we are dwelling in the Word of Christ. We are, I believe we are the only one, the bride of Christ, that is to say, those elected, those who can see, are the only one that can understand what this means, what it means to say, come up hither, and I'll show you things that shall be hereafter. You have come out, you have come out, I'll show it to you. What are we at? What is this anti-message movement now? We call it the anti-message movement. Everybody turned this message. Are they the bride? Not at all. Bob M says maybe 1% or 1% will make the rapture, isn't it? There's always three kinds of believer in the church. Unbeliever, true believer, and make believers. Alright. Again, we all understand Malachi 4, 5 and 6, Luke 17:30. Let's read John 3, 28 to 30. John 3, 28 to 30. You yourself therefore know that I say I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom standeth and hear him rejoice greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled now. That's, and he must increase and I must decrease. This is exactly what should be done by us. You know, John the Baptist says, you know, I must decrease, he must increase. And I'm happy. And he stand away from the groom and the bride. You understand? Now if we are supposed to be the bride, who are we standing with? People are staying close to Bob and then to Jesus Christ the Word. And that's the reason why every time you talk to someone, especially ministers who have been in this anti-message long, if they know Christ closely, intimately, they will know how to refer the scriptures. Is that right? Because if they have been caught up higher and know and have great intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ, then they should know the word. That's what Bob Adam says. Well, I may not know my Bible, as the lady told him, you don't know the Bible. But Bob Adam says, I know the author real well. And you know that you cannot know the author of the Bible unless you first know the Bible. Isn't it? Now, some of you, maybe, I don't know, you have all these books that came out, or Harry Potter's or whatever, some series of books, that, like when you're in Brighton, for example, when I was young, in Brighton, you know, in Brighton, you know, you read so many books of in Brighton, you get to know something about her. You understand, you know, the kind of style you like, and what kind of person is by the way she wrote the books. You see, how can you know God if you don't know the Bible? Because God revealed himself through the Word. No man come unto the Father but by me, Jesus said. Huh? God revealed himself in the Word. People might say, oh, show me God. Show me God. I cannot believe God until I see God. Show me God. God won't show himself like that to you. He'll show himself in his own Word. Because God is in the whole, in his own Word. So here what we have said, talk so. Do we understand what John was saying? Christ must increase, he must decrease. Christ must increase, problem must decrease. But put him up to a pedestal so high that people don't see Christ anymore. It's sad. It is very sad because people have failed to understand the ministry of the man and the ministry of even what John the Baptist was doing. I won't be surprised, the same thing with John the Baptist. Baptist disciple. There were a couple of disciples he had. Remember, on the day when John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God is taken away the sins of the world. How many did the Bible mention came up, get up, and went and follow Christ? Two. Only two. Think about it. Huh. Alright. Christian can hear the word of God. But only the elect can receive the word. If only the Jews in the days of Jesus Christ recognize who Christ was, they'll be fine. But they cannot receive it because they keep on holding to the law. They keep on saying, we have Moses, we have Abraham, we have the law, we have this and that. As long as they hold on to all those prophets, and Jesus Christ said, if you know those prophets, you know who I am. Today, as long as they hold on to Brother Branham, they will never be able to release themselves and follow the Christ in full. And to know and get a special intimacy with Him. You understand that? Now, having come back to the work, getting higher, that's when now. When we come out here to the second open door, that is, we are now in the latter rain. Or in the former rain. Ephesians 4:11, Ephesians chapter 4, the ascension gift ministry is a living ministry for living people in this last age. It is not possible in the other ages before us. Because there needs to be a separation to come into this former reign. Return unto the Lord. Return unto the Lord. Then I'll heal your land. I'll send the rain. I will send the rain. Huh? Is that right? The former rain is the teaching rain. That's one of the words that is used in the Bible. It is also called the teaching rain. Now the latter rain, according to Brother Branham, will produce rapturing faith. The latter rain, Brother Branham said, will produce rapturing faith. So has it come yet? I said, obviously not. Because only under the Ephesians 4 ministry is the former rain. We have, first of all, the shout. Which is the first door. Okay? First door. Revelation 3. Matthew 25. Come out of her, my people. Revelation 18:4. Okay, now that's the first door. For sure. Then comes the voice. That's the second door. That's the Ephesians 4. All these are the phases of spoken word ministry. Brother Bam Shout is a spoken word ministry. A spoken word ministry is a ministry where my anointed man take the word of God and open up and reveals it. Right? Not an educated theologian. Because when he comes to the pulpit, he can open the Bible, but he's not going to expound what's in the Bible. He's going to expound what his theological school taught him. And people who sit under that ministry is going to be polluted. They're going to receive hybridized seed. You understand? Then the shout, you have moved from the shout to the second phase, the voice. Still the same, the voice of the archangel, the chief angel, the chief messenger that is none other than the Christ, the mighty angel. He's the one now in the fivefold ministry, as Bob Dan would say. It's so humble. Under this ministry is the former reign. The teaching reign. Remember Pentecost started out with the outpouring. And the apostles started the church. Is that right? The church began to grow. But before it could come to perfection, already that Antichrist spirit came in. Nicodemus spirit came in. Do you understand? The teaching reign is to mature. You understand? To bring the crops to maturity. To bring it up, to let it grow, sprout, and not let it grow. Until the latter rain comes in, then the harvest will take place. Hallelujah. Do you understand now? Titan shut up, don't fail. It does not fail. That's why the former rain is under this door, the second door. Come on, even now. Get into a prophetic word, prophetic vision, and understand what shall be hereafter. Not still in this Laodicean spirit. You understand? Not instilled in this manner, this message, just the message. The message serves a purpose to bring us back to the Word. Now, you cannot say, I'm in the message, huh? You can say, I'm in the Word! Are you in the message, brother? They say, oh yeah, I'm in the message. Are you in the anti-message? Yes, I'm in the anti-message. We always answer questions like this, but I'm in the Word now. The anti-message has pointed back to the Word. I'm in the Word. Under the fivefold ministry, which is the teaching ministry, the formal rain that comes. Remember, it shall come in the later day, just before the harvest. These two rain will come. Now you see under this, formal rain, the teaching rain. And if the latter, if the teaching rain is the spirit of the Word of God being taught, huh? The Word of God is being spoken. Just if this is a spoken word, now we have the last trump, which is still will be spoken word. And what will be the latter rain? Still spoken word. It's still be the word of God that is being poured out or being showered out. You understand about this shower rain? Huh? Paul talked about the water of the Word of God. And that's what the formal rain is, the word of God, the teaching rain, until you are perfected, mature, no longer tossed to and fro. Like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, you know? Having it alive. And the wind blows, it doesn't, bam, this crack one side. You know, trees blown by a strong wind will be bent over, but steadfast. Right? Hosea 10:12. And 13. We'll quickly go through the last few points. Hosea 10:12. Sow to yourself in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord. Till He comes and rain righteousness upon you. You have ground wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you did trust in your way. In the multitude of the mighty men. Oh, Israel. Oh, Israel. Just like it's a church. No different. The church is just like Israel. Huh? You have proud wickedness. You have reaped iniquity. You have eaten the fruit of lies. Because you trust in your own way. In your own opinion. In the multitude of your mighty men. Great preacher, great teacher, so called. You have trusted them. But now, sow to yourself righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Come on now, your dough is too dry. Dig it up, plow it. It is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rain righteousness. You know what the righteousness is? The righteousness of Christ. You understand that? Till He rain righteousness upon you. You know what the Bible says in the book of Revelation 19? Let's quickly go to it. Let me read it here quickly. Revelation 19. You know, when the wife make herself ready. You see here in verse 7. 19 verse 7 and 8. Let us rejoice. Let us be glad and rejoice. And give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come and His wife and make herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Did He reign righteousness? When He's going to come? When the harvest takes place? When your body is transformed, that little rain is going to change that and give you the righteousness. When you have your body changed, you have the fine linen, which is the testimony of the righteousness of the saints of God. Got it? So let us break up the fallow ground, grow in God's righteousness, under the teaching of the Spirit of Christ, the teaching Spirit of the Lord. And then later on, the rain will come before the harvest comes in. That is the rapture. In closing, James 5, 7 again and 8. He presented up a brother unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it until he received the earlier letter rain. Be also patient. Establish your hearts. Don't be tossed to and fro, you know. Recognize what God is doing in this hour.
People talk about their preaching the message, recognizing the day and his message. Oh yeah, people recognize the day and his message. But what is the message? Did they really recognize the message? Or just, oh yeah, brother and say, come on, oh, the denomination, so yeah, we come out. So what else? We gotta sit under that pouring. Remember? Restoration first, then cometh the rain. If you don't come back into the Word of God, into the field of the Word of God, how can the rain come and let you grow? Huh? You come back, the restoration of the bright tree, the restoration of the bright through the Word. Bring, come on, come out, come out, come into me, the Lord said. Come out and lay in the Word of the Lord. That is His field. You can never grow other than the field of the Word of God. Then the rain will come and teach you and let you grow. You grow by learning the Word of God. You grow in maturity by the Word of God. That's why 5 ministry was given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and so forth and so forth. The hands of we not toss to and fro and so forth. Is that right? Until we grow to maturity. Then once it's mature, then come out the harvest. The regular rain will come. And that's where again, as I said, the spoken word ministry. What I believe in the fivefold ministry, and why I believe in the seven thunders, being the ministry of man, it will happen. Because that is the final capping stone. Can you hear? The thing is this, God gave His word by the ministration of the word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear? As a preacher be saying, you not expect to see just a minute you disappear in the twinkle of an eye like this. No, it won't happen. That's the reason why they have a lot of changes in denomination teaching today. They realize this rapture thing is not even true. And you can sit and walk down the streets and disappear like that. It won't happen. There got to be a spoken word ministry that restore the people. A spoken word ministry that causes the people to grow and be taught and grow. Then, a spoken word ministry that speaks the word and the people will go. The same thing everywhere. It will be. Because the spoken word is a word of life. A word of transformation. That's how it will be. So no matter how much we pray, even you fast and you pray, we will not receive the latter rain of the Holy Spirit unless we receive the former rain. Huh? Go up to the mountain and sit under in a cave or under a tree and pray for it, you won't get it. Because you need to sit under the former rain. You got to come under the teaching rain and grow in the grace of God. Amen. So this is the ministry God has given us. And let us continue in it and walk in it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your blessing of thy word. Let this word, Lord's uttered, be meditated over, Lord. And let us think about the wondrous grace you have given us. And the blessing, the Lord, you have bestowed upon us, Lord. Truly, Father, we are privileged people to see these things. That you open our eyes, Lord, in the days that we are living in to see and behold this prophetic time that we live in. A people that will see the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As you have heard the word of your messenger in the shout, calling us out of the system, Father. And we are thankful, Lord, that we have heard it, that you have granted to us. And that you have shown us, Lord, the former rain to sit under a ministry, the voice of the archangel, the voice of thy messenger of the covenant, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be able to hear Him speak to us through the efficient ministry, Lord, of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. To strengthen us, to let us grow, to feed us, Lord, to a place, O Lord, that we will be strong and matured and not tossed to and fro in this hour of time. Where there are many false doctrine, false Christ, false teachers that are being released out into this world. Lord, we understand that once the wife and make herself ready, there will come the time when you shall utter forth the voice of the thunders and cause our body to change, Lord.
cause our body to put on the fine linen, clean and white, and be taken away to meet you, Lord Jesus, in the air. We thank you for the ministration of thy Spirit in our life. Lord, help us all, O Father, to continue to walk in the light. We know, Lord, the world is not stable now. Not only the world in itself, but the earth, Lord, is going through a shaking. We know, Father, Lord, things will be different now. Going into next year, to go in to see what's going to be like. And we pray, Lord Jesus, we hasten thy return. It's been almost 2,000 years now, Lord. The saints have been looking for your return. And yet, Lord, it says the hearts of men have patient, waited all these 2,000 years for the early and later rain to come, because you are waiting for the fruits that which you have longed for, Lord God. We thank you, Father. We thank you for all things. Asking for blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen.